So today we will discuss about Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Narottam Das Thakur was born not too far away from here, about, I think it will be about 300 kilometers, maybe even less. That place is in Bangladesh now. It's called Kheturi. And he was the son of a king, the son of the king of that place. And he was naturally brought up in the midst of great luxury and opulence. But Narottam Das Thakur became a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It also happened quite accidentally, so to say. But in order to understand the incidents properly, we have to go back when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling towards the North Bengal on his way to Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped along with his devotees on the bank of the river Padma. Padma is a river which branches off, the Ganga branches off into Padma and enters into the eastern part of Bengal, and the other branch, as Bhagirathi, comes down through Calcutta and goes into the ocean. So that Padma, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped there, he was taking bath in the river. And Mahaprabhu was calling out to someone by the name of Narottam. Narottam, Narottam. And everybody was quite surprised, because they didn't know anyone by the name of Narottam. And when they inquired from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was Narottam? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that Narottam hasn't come as yet, but he will come. And it is said that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deposited his love to Padma, Padmavati, and told her to give it to Narottam when Narottam would come. Padma asked the personified river, and just as Ganga is a personality, Padma also is a personality. So Padmavati asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how shall I recognize Narottam? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told her, when Narottam comes, you will become so ecstatic that your water will overflow, spilling over the banks. So then Narottam, the son of a king, went to take bath in the river one day, and as he went into the river, Padma's water swelled, and Padma recognized that this is the personality that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give that love that he deposited in her custody. So in this way Narottam received the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as a result of that, Narottam started to behave like a mad person. And also Narottam's complexion was dark and his complexion changed, became golden due to receiving the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And hours went by, Narottam didn't come back, so everyone became very worried. So they all started to look for Narottam. And then when they went there, although they saw one young boy there, but they couldn't recognize because his complexion became different. But then they recognized that this one boy who was crying, sitting on the bank of the Padma and behaving like a mad person, was actually Narottam. And Narottam's behavior was like a madman from then on. He was a young boy, his behavior became quite unusual. Sometimes he would cry, sometimes he would laugh, sometimes he would roll on the ground. And people thought that Narottam became mad. But those who had the spiritual understanding could identify that this was a transcendental madness, a kind of a height of ecstasy that makes one oblivious of his surrounding. And he becomes so absorbed with his inner love for Krishna that his behavior apparently appears to be like a madman. And then Narottam Das Thakur, one day he left home and he just started to run for Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur himself expressed that feeling, Vishayo chhariya kabe, shuddho habe mon, kabe ham o he rabe, Shri Vrindavan. When my heart will become purified from all material attachments, when shall I be able to see Vrindavan Dham? And in that mood, Narottam Das Thakur, a prince who practically never walked on foot, started to run and traverse the distance of about 1,000 miles running. Just he ran. Only it has been described that sometimes somebody would offer him some food and he would eat that, and sometimes he would just lie down under a tree or somewhere if he became tired at night. In this way, Narottam Das Thakur arrived in Vrindavan. Now this is what happens when one receives Krishna consciousness, when one becomes induced by Krishna consciousness. Irrespective of his material position, he just becomes attracted to Krishna and forgets about everything else. So Narottam Das Thakur, we can well imagine how opulent he must have been. His father was a very powerful king. And he left home in this way and just walked on foot, or ran to Vrindavan to be in the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate. Narottam Das Thakur arrived in Vrindavan and there he met some of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami left the planet already, but Sri Jiva Goswami was there, Lokanath Goswami was there. And Narottam Das Thakur decided to take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. But Lokanath Goswami resolved or took a vow that he would not accept any disciple. So in one hand, Lokanath Das Goswami decided not to accept any disciple, and Narottam Das Thakur decided to take initiation from Lokanath Das Goswami. So when Narottam Das Thakur approached him, he refused. He discouraged him. He said, "No, I'm not going to give initiation." But Narottam Das Thakur didn't become discouraged. He just accepted him as a spiritual master within his heart, and he continued to render service unto him. And he used to render service in such a way. Yeah, Lokanath Goswami then refused to accept his service also. He said, "Don't come here and don't serve me." So Narottam Das Thakur, Hare Krishna. So Narottam Das Thakur then used to clean his toilet. Actually in Vrindavan, in India it's a common custom that people in villages often evacuate at a place, distant place from the house. And so Lokanath Goswami used to notice that his toilet was kept very clean. And he didn't have any sweeper or didn't have any scavenger as such. So he was very surprised. And one day, out of curiosity, he started to notice. And he saw that it was Narottam Das Thakur. And after he evacuated, Narottam Das Thakur was cleaning the place. And he became so moved by that gesture that the son of a king was cleaning his toilet. And he felt how much devotion, how much loyalty he must have developed for him. So he finally decided to break his vow and accept him as his disciple. So Lokanath Goswami was Narottam Das Thakur's Diksha Guru. But he received a Shiksha from Srila Jiva Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur at that time was also very fortunate to have the association of two other very exalted personalities. And they also became, three of them became very close friends. And those two other personalities are Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Prabhu. So these three became very intimate friends, and three of them received instruction from Srila Jiva Goswami. Srinivas, Narottam, Shyamananda. Whoever is coughing, just drink some water and try to control your cough. Go to the kitchen and take some water. So Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu and Srinivas Acharya became very close friends. And one of very exalted devotee, Raghav Pandit, one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, took them for Vrindavan Parikrama, and three of them had the good fortune of seeing Vrindavan Dham, seeing all the places of Krishna's pastimes in this way. And then three of them actually resolved that they would always stay in Vrindavan and never go anywhere else. But they may have resolved that, but Jiva Goswami had another plan. So Jiva Goswami one day called them and told them that the books of the Goswamis, the six Goswamis and other Goswamis of Vrindavan all the scriptures that they wrote, those books need to be carried to Bengal. They needed to be carried to Bengal because those days Vrindavan didn't, nothing much was happening in Vrindavan. Vrindavan was just, there was hardly anybody living excepting some associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the books were just sitting there, but the books were needed to be transported to Bengal where the main preaching was going on. So they entrusted, Jiva Goswami entrusted Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu to carry the books to Bengal. And the leader of the group was Srinivas Acharya. And the arrangements were made. The books were placed in, kept in nice large wooden boxes, and those boxes were studded with metal, copper and brass, and there were bullock carts arranged to carry the box to, full of books to Bengal. This arrangement was made by the wealthy business people from Mathura. Some very wealthy businessmen were very dedicated to Sri Jiva Goswami, so they patronized Jiva Goswami's mission to carry the books to Bengal. And so they started from Vrindavan. They used to travel during the day, and in the evening they would stop at some place, and if there were some villages or some human habitation there, then they would, people would gather around them, and in the evening they would have kirtan and they would take rest. So in this way they travelled all the way from Vrindavan to the border of Bengal and Bihar. And in the border of Bihar and Bengal there is a place called Vishnupur. And the king of that place, Vishnupur, was Hambir, King Hambir. And this King Hambir also was a dacoit. In one hand he was a king, but he would plunder, his people would plunder the travelers who were carrying a lot of money. And he used to find out who was carrying some wealth with him through some astrologer. He had an astrologer who could calculate and tell how much money one was carrying. The similar incidents we also noticed when Sanatana Goswami was traveling to Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami's servant, without Sanatana Goswami's knowledge, was carrying 8 gold coins. And when they stopped in one guest house on the way, the innkeeper also had an astrologer, and the astrologer said that they are carrying 8 gold coins. And the innkeeper was planning to kill them and take the money. But Sanatana Goswami figured out, he was a diplomat, he was a minister. So he started to wonder why this innkeeper was treating him with so much honor. Because he was traveling just like an ordinary person. So why was the innkeeper giving him so much honor? So he asked his servant what was the matter, whether he was carrying any money with him. And the innkeeper, then the servant said yes. He admitted that he was carrying 7 gold coins. So Sanatana Goswami told him, okay, give it to me. And he called the innkeeper and gave him 7 gold coins. Then the innkeeper told him that, good that you you told me, gave it. you displayed this generous gesture. Actually, I'll honestly admit that I knew that you were carrying 8 gold coins. My astrologer told me, and I was planning to kill you tonight. And Krishna actually saved me from committing such an offense, such a crime. So then Sanatana Goswami called his servant and told him that where is the other gold coin? Because he found out that he was actually carrying 8 gold coins. So anyway, so this is how there are astrologers who can actually calculate and tell you how much money one was carrying. So this astrologer of this king, Hambir, had could actually tell, and he calculated and said that this group is coming from the western side, traveling east, and they are carrying an enormous wealth. It's an incalculable wealth, immeasurable wealth. So the king was very excited, so he sent his men to steal the wealth from them. So at night, when they were taking rest, his men went and stole the box. In the morning, when Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Prabhu woke up, they found that the box was missing. The box of books was missing. They all felt completely devastated. Now you can well imagine like how they must have felt, because these are the books written by the Goswamis. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, Krishna Das Paviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the only copy, the handwritten copy that was there, was gone, was stolen. So they practically, they were actually feeling like entering into fire and give up their lives. They're feeling, what are they going to say to Srila Jiva Goswami? And this treasure was lost. Then finally, it was decided that they must try to do something, especially Srinivas Acharya took it upon himself. He felt that it is his duty to retrieve the books. And so he decided to stay there and get the books, and he sent Shyamananda Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur to Orissa and Bengal, respectively. He sent Narottam Das Thakur to Bengal and Shyamananda Prabhu to Orissa. And he stayed there in order to retrieve the books. And so he started to go around, ask people, who could have done that. Then one day he was invited by a brahmana to take prasad in his house. And when he told the brahmana what has happened, then the brahmana said that actually the king is a bandit. So he may have stolen it. But the problem is, Srinivas Acharya Prabhu could not just walk up to the king and ask him, did you steal my books? Then probably the king would unsheathe his sword and want to chop off his head. So that But the king, the Brahmana told that the king is very fond of listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. He is a king, a bandit, at the same time he is fond of listening to Bhagavatam. So, Srinivas Acharya told him, why don't you go to the king and tell the king that, tell him about me, that I recite Bhagavatam, and if he gives me an opportunity, then I would like to recite Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And this is how at least we can establish a relationship. So the Brahmana went and told the king, a very exalted devotee came from Vrindavan, and he recites Srimad Bhagavatam in a very, very wonderful way. So the king immediately became interested, so he asked him to bring him to his court. And so Narottamdas Thakur came and he started to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and explain Srimad Bhagavatam. The king became so impressed, he told him that I never heard such recitation and never ever I heard such a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, please tell me, what can I do for you? Please allow me to render some service unto you. So then Srinivas Acharya told him, look, I was actually coming from Vrindavan and my Guru Varga, my spiritual masters, wrote many books in Sanskrit on Krishna consciousness. I was carrying those books in a box, in a wooden casket. And someone has stolen that. That huge wooden box has been stolen. Oh, in the meantime, yeah, I forgot that part. The king, after stealing the box, when the box was brought to his palace, and when they opened the box, they found it full of books. So the king was expecting it would be full of jewels and priceless ornaments, but he saw just some books handwritten on palm leaves. So he asked the astrologer, what happened? You said that this box is containing an incredible amount of wealth, but this is just filled with some palm leaves. The astrologer again sat down and made a calculation, and he says, each time I'm making my calculation, the reading says that this box is filled with priceless wealth. So the king could understand that this is a different kind of wealth. This is the spiritual wealth, the wealth of knowledge that this box is filled with. So now when Srinivas Acharya told him and what happened and asked for his help to recover the books, then the king said, come with me, and took him to the treasury and pointed out to the box, which was very carefully kept in the treasury. He said, is this the box you are talking about? Then Srinivas Acharya just embraced that box and started to weep. The king felt so bad that he hurt such an exalted devotee. He caused pain to such an exalted devotee that he decided to atone for that. And he decided to take initiation from Srinivas Acharya. And he was duly initiated by Srinivas Acharya, and he made his whole kingdom into a center of Vaishnava culture. Still today, Vishnupur is famous for its Vaishnava culture. the terracotta work is Vishnupur is very famous for, and that actually developed during that time for while building the temples. And the king and the queen both were initiated by Srinivas Acharya, and they patronized his preaching very extensively. So Narottam Das Thakur came back to his house, and house means his father's palace, but he didn't want to stay in his royal palace. He decided to stay away. He stayed in the place, in his father's house, but he built a hut nearby and he was living there. And Narottam Das Thakur started to preach quite extensively in Bengal at that time. And as a result of that, many, many people started to become devotees of Krishna. Only was Kayastha. Kayastha means it's something like a sudra and a kshatriya. They take administrative jobs for salary. So although they're very cultured and very good in administration, but because they work for salary, they are considered to be a sudra. Like Ramananda Roy, although he was the governor of the king of Orissa, but he considered himself to be a sudra. So Narottam Das Thakur's ancestors, whose title was Bhakta, they were Kayastha. And so when Narottam Das Thakur started to preach like that, many brahmanas even became his disciples. So the Brahmin community became very upset about that. It all started with a very, very interesting incident. One day Narottam Das Thakur and a disciple of Srinivas Acharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were traveling. After preaching, they were coming home, and on the way they saw two Brahmin boys. They were taking with them some goats for sacrifice. They could understand that they are actually meant for sacrifice. And so Ramchandra Kaviraj asked Narottam Das Thakur that such handsome looking, bright looking brahmana boys, but see, they are indulging in this kind of degraded activities of slaughtering animals in sacrifice. It would be so nice if they would become Vaishnavas. So then Narottam Das Thakur devised a plan, a strategy. So Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj started to walk just in front of the boys, so that the boys could hear when they spoke to each other. And Narottam Das Thakur started to explain to Ramchandra Kaviraj the consequences of animal sacrifice, and how the animals actually come in the next life to slaughter them. And even after death, these animals with iron horns start to gore them. These are all from Srimad Bhagavatam. So these two boys heard what Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj were discussing, and they realize that they are actually indulging in such sinful activities which is going to bind them down to endless suffering. So these boys came, fell at their feet and asked them to to show them the way how they could become free from their sinful reaction. So Narottamdas Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj started to instruct them about Krishna consciousness and how Krishna consciousness actually purifies one of all sinful reactions. So Narottamdas Thakur and these boys wanted to take initiation. So in the meantime, the boy's father, who was a very wealthy Brahmin, when the boys didn't return, he became very worried, and he sent his men to look for the boys all over, and then they found that his men finally found the boys with Narottamdas Thakur. And they found that Narottamdas Thakur even initiated. So the father became very upset. He said, how does a Kshatriya dare to give initiation to a Brahmana? So he was very, very upset. And actually, so he said that this is the symptom of the age of Kali, when a Sudra will initiate a Brahmana. So the king, the father, forcibly brought the boys back home and tried to brainwash the boys, or deprogram them. And so deprogram is not a new thing. It used to happen even those days. So, but the boys, they started to give such solid arguments that the father could not, father was defeated. The boys pointed out that a Vaishnava is actually transcendental to the material mode. And anybody can become a Vaishnava. Even a Chandal can become a Vaishnava. And when he becomes a Vaishnava, then he becomes transcendental to the material platform. And those who are situated even on the highest platform, highest material platform, that is the Brahmanas, a Vaishnava is even superior to them. So in this way, the boys actually defeated the father. Then the father thought that, I do not really know so much of scriptures. I got mostly involved in making money. And so I will get some learned Brahmana, some very learned Brahmana, and he will defeat these boys. And then the boys will come to their senses. So then the father appointed or got hold of one very, very learned Brahmana. His name is Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Very learned Brahmana. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti started to speak to these two boys. And Ganga Narayan Chakravarti experienced one very strange thing. He felt that what kind of love these two boys have developed for Vishnu and Krishna, that while speaking about him, they display such deep emotion that tears come from their eyes. I never experienced anything like this. I never experienced such deep attachment to the Lord. So, I must actually learn from them how they developed this attachment for the Lord. So the boys told him that it was due to Narottamdas Thakur. So then Ganga Narayan Chakravarti went to Narottamdas Thakur and also accepted initiation from him. So when the Brahmana, the father, got to know about that, he became even more upset. And he felt that this Narottam Das Thakur must have been using some black magic, that he is bewildering everybody. And that's why all these brahmanas are going to him and taking initiation. So he went to the king, King Nrisimha Narayan, and told him that, look, you are the king, you must protect dharma and see what is happening to dharma. The kaistas, the sudras are initiating the brahmanas, and in this way the whole structure of dharma will become destroyed, so you must protect dharma. King said, yes, that's true. So the king said, the best, and when he heard what actually happened, then the king said, we must defeat them through scriptural understanding. So let us get the best of the brahmanas, best of the scholars, and then we will go and let the brahmanas defeat Narottam Das Thakur, and then we will punish him. So they got the very learned brahmanas from Mithila and other such places. And the brahmanas, those pandits, those scholars with their entourage and disciples were traveling, and the king with his army. Now in the meantime, Ramchandra Kaviraj, who is a disciple of Srinivas Acharya and a friend of Narottam Das Thakur, and Ganganarayan Chakravarti got to know about this, that the king was coming to create disturbance to Narottam Das Thakur. So they decided that they must stop them from going to Narottam Das Thakur. So they planned that they kind of calculated that while going to Kheturi, they will stop for the night at such and such place. So at that village, at that place, they opened one pan shop and a clay pot shop. Because while they are traveling, the brahmanas, they won't cook in the same pot twice. So they usually use clay pots, and after using it once, cooking, they will throw it away. So they have to come and buy clay pots to cook. And pan, betel leaves, they're very delicate. After eating food, they'll take pan. So they have to come to the pan shop. So these are the two shops they must come. So that's why they opened these two shops. So these brahmana scholars, chelas, their students, went to the market in the evening to buy clay pots. One group went to buy clay pots from the clay pot shop, and the other group went to buy betel nuts from the betel nut shop. Now when they went to the shop, the shopkeepers started to speak to them in Sanskrit. And not only they started to speak to them in Sanskrit, gradually that conversation took the shape of a debate. And in the debate, these brahmanas got defeated. And they went and reported to their guru that they were defeated by a clay pot shopkeeper and a betel nut shopkeeper. So the guru first became very angry. He said, what kind of disciples of mine you are? You got defeated by some clay pot vendors, and so come, I will go and see him, teach them a lesson. So then this big pandit came to this clay pot shop, and there he got into a debate with the clay pot shopkeeper, and he was defeated. So then king also came, getting the news that such strange things are happening here. Such big scholars, the biggest scholars of the country, they were defeated by ordinary shopkeepers. So they asked, where did you get this knowledge? And they very humbly said that we are ordinary shopkeepers. But we have a great personality as our spiritual master. And it is simply due to his mercy that we have received this knowledge. What is the name of his spiritual master? Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So then the king became very surprised. And king told the pandit, look, you are going to defeat Narottam Das. We are trying to defeat Narottam Das Thakur. Now, his ordinary shopkeeper disciples are defeating you. So what chance do you have when you go to him? Then the pandit also said, yes, that's true. But still I want to go to him. You know why? Because I want to surrender myself. So this pandit and the king both went to Narottam Das Thakur and became his disciple. Narottam Das Thakur's preaching has very, very wonderful achievements. It is due to Narottam Das Thakur's disciples' preaching. One of his disciples went to the state of Manipur, and the king of Manipur actually became influenced, and the whole state became Vaishnavas. And one very interesting incident is that at that time there was a very powerful king in Bengal called Chand Rai. He was so, at that time, actually practically the whole of North India was conquered by the Muslims. But this Chand Rai, the Muslims couldn't bring him under their control. He was a very powerful king. And he had a son called Pratapaditya, who was also very, very powerful. Very powerful warrior. So, once Pratapaditya became haunted by a ghost, a Brahmarakshasa. Brahmarakshasa means the ghost of a Brahmana. They are very powerful. So, And they tried de-ghost him? Exorcise him. So exorcists came, but nothing happened. The ghost actually was challenging them. They're telling that, look, you all won't be able to do anything to me. But if Narottam Das Thakur comes and places his feet, his lotus feet, on my head, then only I'll go. So, and Prathapaditya was like an uncontrollable elephant. He was very powerful, and now he became haunted by Brahmarakshasa. So, Narottam Das Thakur, the king sent his men to Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur said, no, I can't do that. I can't put my foot on anybody's head. Then the king himself, Chand Rai himself, went to Narottam Das Thakur and begged him. He said, please, for the sake of my son, please come and do us this favor. Because there is no way I can exercise. So then finally Narottam Das Thakur agreed and reluctantly he placed his right foot on the head of Pratapaditya. And as soon as he did that, Pratapaditya, who was like a mad elephant, his behavior was like mad elephant. They couldn't even keep him tied up with chains. Immediately, he became completely peaceful and he fell asleep. So this is how he got rid of the ghost. Yeah, and then Dhrumarakshasa, while going out, it broke the top branch of a huge banyan tree. Half of the banyan tree actually crumbled. And the Brahma Rakshasa actually pointed out that this is how he left. So after coming in contact with Narottam Das Thakur, Pratapaditya became so peaceful that he gave up his fighting tendency. He became a Vaishnava. He became very peaceful. Now the Muslim king wanted to take advantage of it. So one day when Narottam Das Thakur, Pratapaditya was going to the Ganges to take bath with 14 bodyguards on horseback, these Muslim soldiers surrounded him and took him into captivity. And the king, the Muslim king Nawab, actually decided to kill Pratapaditya by trampling him by a mad elephant. And the arrangement was made, a huge arena was created, and there was a raised platform. The people were watching from all around, and the king was sitting on that raised platform, surrounded by his generals and ministers, and Pratapaditya, his hands tied with a chain at his back, was made to enter from one side of the arena, and the mad elephant was let loose from the other side of the arena. He was actually brought into the middle of that arena, Prince Pratapaditya, and the mad elephant was let loose from the other side. And to his amazement, everyone saw that Pratapaditya was fearless. He was not afraid of facing the mad elephant. Instead of running away, he was walking towards the elephant. And the elephant was coming, rushing towards him. And at that time, the Muslim Nawab, the king, realized what a brave personality this person is, Pratapaditya is. And he felt that if Pratapaditya dies such an inglorious death, due to him, it will be a blemish to his character. So he felt that such a hero cannot die such an inglorious death. So he just picked up the spear from one of his bodyguards. He jumped out down that raised platform and he ran to intercept the elephant. But before he could reach that elephant, he saw that the mad elephant, charged towards Pratapaditya, but as it came in front of Pratapaditya, it just knelt down and with his head, bowing his head down, he offered obeisance. And king ran to Pratapaditya and embraced him. So this is how, and from then onwards, Pratapaditya and the Muslim king became great friends. So this was how Narottam Das Thakur's influence was. And when Narottam Das Thakur left his body, actually Narottam Das Thakur doesn't have a samadhi. The reason is, there's also another very interesting incident. Narottam Das Thakur was about to leave his body. And he stopped speaking. So the Brahman has started to tell that he, because he was speaking all kinds of improper, offensive things, that's why he lost his ability to speak. And that's why he is dying like this. So his disciples started to beg to him, please, don't, if you leave now, then what will happen? Look, how blasphemous these people have become. So please, show us the way how we are going to face these people's blasphemy. So Narottamdas Thakur sat up and he said, okay, then I won't leave now. And he stayed for a long time. And then these brahmanas became very afraid and came to him, and those who were not surrendering to him, this time they also surrendered unto him. Seeing how he returned from his imminent death. And then one day, Narottamdas Thakur decided to go to the Ganges to take bath. And he told two of his disciples to rub his back with the water. And as they were doing that, as they started doing that, he was sitting half submerged in the water. And as they were splashing water on his body and rubbing his body dissolved into a milky white substance and dissolved, mixed with the water of the Brahman. So this is how Narottamdas Thakur left this planet. What a wonderful personality. And Narottamdas Thakur wrote many, many songs, beautiful songs. Maybe we can sing one of Narottamdas Thakur's songs. Actually, in the morning we sing during Guru Puja, Sri Guru Charana Padma. Do you know who composed that song? Srila Narottamdas Thakur. That is, you see, Indian classical music is known as Dhrupad. So Narottamdas Thakur developed a style of kirtan based on the Dhrupad, the classical Indian way of singing. And that style is known as Garanhati. And, well, that style is practically lost now. We came across somebody who knew the style, but he was too old to sing it. It's unfortunate that culture is lost. Yes. What is that? In what condition a soul becomes? You see, when a person becomes sinful, his lifespan becomes reduced. Due to his sinful activities, the duration of his life begins to reduce. Like nature has given everybody a kind of a lifespan of about 100 years. Now as one becomes sinful, he begins to lose his ayu or life. And when one becomes very sinful, then nature actually makes him leave his body. Say for example, somebody becomes very sinful. And as a result of his sin, his duration of his life was say 100 years. Now due to his sinful activities, he lost 70 years. And then he reaches the point when he actually lost his ayu. lifespan. And then all of a sudden he dies. And that death comes as an accidental death. Sinful people, due to their sinful reactions, die an accidental death or commit suicide or some sort of sudden death actually takes place. And as a result of that sudden death, he doesn't get another gross body. And he remains in his subtle body as a ghost. Now when that happens to a brahmana, meaning a person who is already spiritually little advanced, spiritually means not as a devotee, but as a as Brahman realization, Brahmogyan. They have some spiritual understanding, but they die an accidental death. So they become, when they become ghosts, they become very powerful ghosts. And they are called the Brahma Rakshasa. Yes, that when a ghost possesses somebody, you see, the ghosts are in a subtle body, right? But in the subtle body they have their desire.